Well, our message today is be healed. How many need healing today? All right. Hey, guys, we got a lot of you going to come forward at the end of service, it looks like. Okay, because we're going to pray for that at the end of service. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Oh, I love that, man. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. That's where we're going to start. And that's where we're going to end. We'll have a couple bits in Matthew and Luke coming up as well. And then we'll finish out in Psalms at the end. But Psalms, when we get there, I'm just going to read some verses real quick, so you don't need to go there if you don't want to. And as we talk about healing, you know, I went to my mother's the other day. My mom is 90. She'll be 91 in November. Still lives alone. Still doing well. And you know what my mom had out on her back porch? Besides us kids and grandkids and whatever, she had a telescope about this big around and about this long. And at 10 o'clock at night, she said, "I want to look at that blue moon that's coming." My mom's looking in that thing, and she probably has the eyes of a 90-year-old. I mean, let's face it. And she said, "I can't see it, Adam." I said, "Me neither." Oh, wait. As I shifted my eye to the eye hole, I could see it. But for some reason, I was off that a little bit. Adam, what's your point to that? My point is sometimes our focus is off just a little. We're not way off. I mean, she wasn't trying to aim it the opposite way of the moon. She had it aimed up where she thought the moon was and could see it great, and it was coming through trees. But in that eyepiece, there's a little bitty hole in the middle, and we were looking at all the surrounding edge of it, thinking we were looking in the eye hole. But then my mom went to grab that telescope and look in it and started falling back over the railing. She didn't go over. I caught her, of course. Saved the day. Okay, so great. Okay, but I thought, could you imagine if she had gone over the back of that railing? And the railing's only this tall. And she hit it with holding that telescope. And I thought, Mom's going to pull that telescope down. I had a great idea. I said, "Mom, why don't we move this away from the railing? That way you don't fall down over the edge of your balcony thing there and land on the ground about 8 feet below." And I thought, we have to be careful sometimes, because our healing comes from our own mistakes sometimes, does it not? Now, sometimes it's just who and what we are, God's composition and how He makes us up. But sometimes our healing comes from our own. What are you doing backing up to the railing and pulling that telescope with you, Mom? All in all, she had a great time. Was so thrilled to see that full moon through the telescope. And I was too. I was like a little kid looking through it. But I thought, it's fun times until somebody gets hurt. You know, our parents always tell us that everything's fun and games till somebody gets hurt. My mom told me that as a kid many times. But it tells us when we're struggling what to do. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 says this. "Is anyone among you suffering?" Now, I asked that earlier. I said, does anybody need healing? And many hands went up. But there's different types. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." Okay, guys, we got a job. We've got to pray for ourselves when we're suffering. Jan, can you and your prayer group pray for me? Yeah, have you prayed for yourself? We're to pray for ourselves. It tells us right there. If we just rely on Jan and her prayer group, and God love them all, I appreciate those prayers. But the Bible tells us we've got some work to do ourselves. And it's not picking up the phone and calling Jan Murray first. It's calling ourselves. "Let him pray." "Is anyone cheerful?" I love that. Anybody cheerful out there? I am. Okay, all right. Thank you. "Anybody cheerful? Let him sing psalms." "Is anyone among you sick?" Is anyone sick? Okay, thank goodness. Okay, no one's sick. "Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. We've got sins in there also. Those will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, we have some direction right there, and it sounds pretty simple. Now, if you look at healing scriptures and different things, there's tons of scriptures through there from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But this is pretty simple. Are you suffering? Pray. If you're sick, call on the elders of the church. Let them pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And I'm here to tell you, prayer of faith prayers will save the sick also. And that's prayer of faith as a body, our church body. I believe that. Jesus prayed and Jesus healed. He was able to do that. James here tells us, hey, here's what we have to do. Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 6 talks about healing. And Jesus healed people and he cast out unclean spirits. Now let's flip over to Matthew chapter 17. We'll come back to that at the very end of service, but you don't necessarily have to keep your finger in that spot because we just read it. Okay, but we're going to recap that so we're reminded of what to do. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 through 21. And it talks about Jesus healing a boy. It says, when they had come to the multitude. Now, generally, wherever Jesus went, there was a multitude gathering. In different scriptures, it said they were waiting for him. They waited to hear him. They waited to see him. They brought the sick and the unclean to see him for healing. So wherever he went, there were multitudes. But in the midst of that, he also was able to prioritize for himself what he needed to do. He said, I've got to go away and pray. I have to go away, and sometimes it's alone, and sometimes it's with my inner circle. I have to go away and pray. But he says, when they'd come to the multitude, a man came to him, and he knelt down, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples. Listen up. I brought him to your disciples. Let's look at that a little differently. I brought him to your ambassadors. I brought him to your representatives. We are ambassadors of Christ. And I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't cure him. Then Jesus answered and said to them, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Wait a minute. We've got disciples of Jesus, people that he handpicked, and now Jesus is saying, you guys had unbelief, and that's why you couldn't heal that child. Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Well, hang on just a minute, because a few months ago, I remember doing a message, and I talked about Jesus empowering the disciples. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 is where it tells us that happened. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. Gave them power. For what purpose did he give them power? Over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Jesus gave them power. And then here we are, a mere 7 chapters later. Jesus, why couldn't we do that? I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't do it. Jesus called the disciples to him, gave them power. He gave it to them. He put it in their hands, said, here you go. Here's the power over unclean spirits. Here's the power to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. But they weren't able to grasp and get hold of the gift that Jesus had given to them. Now, could you imagine if Jesus said, hey, I'm giving you power over all these things. We might be running around like a circus show going, hey, look what I can do. But the disciples came back and said, look what I can't do. You see, I can't cast out unclean spirits. I can't heal the sick or diseased. Jesus, what happened? Does that happen to us? Has he given us power and authority over things? And then do we turn around and say, Jesus, man, I knew you weren't real. It didn't happen. Because we're misusing the gift, or we're not even using the gift, or we're not using it properly, or we're using it for the wrong purpose. Possibly for self-notification there. You know, it says, hey, look at me. Because of your unbelief, Jesus told them, he's given them a gift. They can't use it. They don't know what they're doing. And he has to tell them, I gave you this power, but you had unbelief. You had unbelief over the gift that I've given you, over the power I've given you. Now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And it's a bit of a story here. It's at the very end of Luke chapter 8. We're going to read verse 40 through 56. And it tells a story of a girl restored to life and a woman healed. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to the end of the chapter. And it says, so it was when Jesus returned, here it is again, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Are you waiting with anticipation when you come before the Lord? Because they were. They were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and he begged Jesus to come to his house. He says, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age. And she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. They were all around him as he tried to move to the house. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any came from behind. She touched the border of his garment. Listen carefully. She touched the border of his garment and immediately her flow of blood stopped and Jesus knew it. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes are all around you. They're pressing into you. I mean, how is it that you ask, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden any longer, she came trembling and fell down before him. And she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. And how she had been healed immediately. Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Now, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. When Jesus heard it, he answered saying, do not be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. So we can understand as we're talking about being healed, belief is strong in the midst of this. They couldn't heal because of their unbelief. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Jesus now says, do not be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John. And the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. Verse 52 or 53, what did they do? They ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put all of them outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Now, I don't know why Jesus and many of his healings said, "Don't tell anybody." What's the first thing they did? My goodness, look what he did. Look at this. I'm walking. Remember me? I was just laying there in front of the gate. Look at me. I can see. I can hear. In this little girl's situation, who was dead and everybody knew it, tell no one what had happened? She was dead. And now she's walking amongst the people. No wonder the multitudes were gathering to see him, gathering to hear him speak, gathering to touch the hem of his garment. If I could just get close, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I feel I'll be healed. I could just see him, maybe hear him. And I'm telling you, people that believe that have a lot of faith. If I can just see him, I'll be healed. If they have that faith, they probably will be. He says, "Your faith has made you well. Believe, and she will be made well." We have to know God's word. We have to believe in God's word. And we have to know what our part is. You know, it seems like so many Christians that aren't familiar with the word think, "God, what are you going to do for me? God, how are you getting me out of this situation?" I don't know, man. You went down that rabbit hole. Why don't you find your way back out of it? Did you leave some breadcrumbs so you can get your way out of the place that you took yourself? They waited for him. They believed in him. They ridiculed him. But then they were amazed by him. Jesus has the power to heal. Do we agree? Jesus has the power to heal. But so do we. It tells us, man, if we'll just call out to him, we'll be healed. We have to trust that. Psalm 30, verse 2 says, "O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me." Psalm 41, 3, "The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed." Psalm 147, 3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." You see, we talk about healing a lot of times to say that's a physical healing. There's broken hearts that need healing and mending. He heals the brokenhearted. And he takes that wound and it says he binds that up. I'll close with this. As our band comes up, James chapter 5, where I started. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." Now, I love this. In the midst of that, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Man, we have responsibilities and God has responsibilities. We talked 2 weeks ago in Ground Zero about accountability. And I said, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about our accountability to one another. Our accountability to God. Us to hold people accountable. And we can't just look at it and say, God, man, I'm accountable to you and that's it. No, I'm accountable to you guys. You're accountable to me. We're all accountable to each other. We're held to hold each other accountable. But it says, man, if you're suffering, pray. You pray. Now, it doesn't mean we can't pray over you, but it says you pray. Is anyone sick? Let the elders of the church pray. Pray for one another. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And I think sometimes we don't tell each other things because we don't want to bother people. Anyone ever do that? I don't want to tell anyone because I don't want to be a burden. My mom, my sisters, all that stuff. We don't tell each other things until something happens or after the fact. I'm like, why do you not let us know? We're family. Brothers, sisters, let us know. Let us know. That's what we're here for. Eric and I are here for the church to be shepherds of the sheep, to protect them, to look for the lost ones, to pick up and carry the sick ones. But I'm telling you, just like the man that had his friends take him to the house where Jesus was and they had to lower him in, sometimes you may have to pick up someone and take them to Jesus. Other times you have to let other people pick you up and take you to the house to be healed. What we can't do is run away and say, I'm not going to that house. I'm not taking anyone to that house. Believe and you will be healed. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the healing power that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for those that pray over others. Lord, we thank you for those that pray over themselves. Lord, we thank you for being a healer. One that restores. One that forgives. One that receives. One that comforts. Lord, for all the pain and suffering, you are the healer of those people and those issues. And this morning as we close, we want to open the altars. Those of you that have had surgeries, illnesses, and are recuperating or still dealing with some of the effects from that, we'd like to pray over you. I'd like for you to come forward and allow us to pray over continued healing. Those of you that are facing upcoming surgeries or procedures, we'd like to pray over you. We'd like for you to come forward as well. Those of you that may be brokenhearted, we want to pray over you that the Lord heals your broken heart and mends up that wound. Those of you that need to press against the edge of his garment, we'd like for you to come forward and just put your hand on the edge of the platform this morning that we may pray over you and you feel power and source of energy from that. In Jesus' name, amen.